We're doing in Yaakov, we're up to page Kuf Yudchet, Amar Yuda, Amar Rav. We have the following famous quote, Shram, Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskelin, the name of Rav. It says Rav Yehuda learned so diligently that Rav Yehuda would review all his learning every 30 days. Rav Yehuda quotes in the name of Rav, Kol ha-maneget ha-shabbat, whoever makes Shabbat pleasurable, notnin lo mishalot libo. So if we invest in making Shabbat pleasurable, the Torah tells us that Hashem will grant us our desires. Shenemar, the verse says, V'itanag al Hashem, v'iten lecha mishalot libecha. Have pleasure on Hashem, so to speak, and He will give you what you seek. When we read this verse, we don't know what is the verse talking about when it says, have pleasure on Hashem. Then we look at the verse in Isaiah and Yeshaya, it says, V'karata l'shabbat oneg, that you should make a declaration that Shabbos should be a day of pleasure. Ve'omer z'oneg Shabbat. So we assume, we derive from this pasuk, that when the pasuk says, V'itanag al Hashem, it's referencing having pleasure on Shabbat. So here we have an interesting goal. On Shabbos we're supposed to enjoy ourselves, supposed to have good food, you're supposed to sleep late. We have the following quote from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the great sage of Israel. Rabbi Yochanan was the contemporary of Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan has tremendous weight in halacha. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan against both Rav and Shmuel. So we have the following quote from Rabbi Yochanan. Kol hamshaber Shabbat kehilchato. If a person keeps Shabbos according to halacha, afilu oved avodat kochavim keenosh mochalin lo. Even if he is a pagan, even if he is very into idol worship, he will be forgiven. Shenemar, as the verse says, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zot, Shomer Shabbat Meichalelo. The verse in Yeshaya says, praised is a person who does this. So the Gemara says the word Enosh, Ashrei Enosh, is a play on words. Ashrei, praised is a person, even if he's like the generation of Enosh, so long as he keeps Shabbos, ultimately he will be forgiven. The commentaries say that the idea here is that when a person keeps Shabbos the way he should, so then ultimately he'll do tshuva. Even if initially he was a pagan and he was doing a lot of things wrong, through Shabbos he comes back. And this is an interesting concept in halacha, that keeping Shabbos has a different weight than other mitzvos. It's not an invention of ours that we say is he a Shomer Shabbos Jew. When we want to speak about a Jew that's observant, we call him a Jew who keeps Shabbos. And this is a halachic concept. Our assumption is that when someone keeps Shabbos, so he has the baseline, he has the basis off of which he will be Jewish. It's one of the basic mitzvot, keeping Shabbos. So over here the Gemara says, even if he does serious things wrong, but through Shabbos, he will be forgiven. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Again, another quote from Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel in the name of Rav. Remember, Rav Yehuda the Amora, the Gemara says, would review his learning every 30 days. He'd review everything. If the Jewish people would have kept that first Shabbos, lo shaleta be'uma v'lashon. No nationality, no nation could have taken control of the Jewish people. Shneimar, as the verse says, the seventh day came, people did not observe Shabbat, people went out to gather man, right afterwards it says, Amalek came to attack. So this is the juxtaposition. When we didn't keep the Shabbos, then we were attacked by the nations, and they go hand in hand. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. These are famous quotes. They are quoted in the beginning of the laws of Shabbos. Every line we're reading here is quoted in the very beginning of the laws of Shabbos. The importance of making Shabbos pleasurable. The idea that keeping Shabbos attains atonement for a person. Rabbi Yochanan quotes from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mishum means in the name of. He didn't hear it directly. Ilmalei. The word ilmalei in modern Hebrew means if not for. The word ilmalei in Talmud has two opposite meanings. If it's written with an aleph at the end, ilmalei would mean just like we use it, if not for. But if it's written with a yud at the end, then it means if it would be for. If only it would be. Ilmalei with an aleph means if not, ilmalei with a yud means if yes. Tosfos points this out in Tractate Megillah. Ilmalei mishamim Yisrael shnei shabbatot kilchatan. If the Jewish people would only keep two shabbatos in accordance with halacha, that's not so easy. You got to learn the laws of Shabbos. Miyad nigalin. Right away, the Jewish people would be redeemed from exile. Shneimar, as the verse says, Ko amar Hashem nasarisim sheshmut shabbatotai v'chativ batrei v'aviyotim enar kochi. The Torah, the Navi Yeshaya describes, Hashem says, I'm talking to those who keep my Shabbos. And then Hashem says, I will ultimately bring them to my mountain. I will bring them back to Jerusalem. Did you ever wonder, in Lecha Dodi, we start singing about the love of Hashem for the Jewish people. The beloved goes through towards the loved, right? Lecha Dodi likrat kala. And then we shift to talk about Jerusalem. Right? Ir Melucha. The city of our kingdom. What does Jerusalem have to do with Shabbos? Why is half of the Chadodi speaking about Yerushalayim? Hitoreri, hitoreri. We're talking about Jerusalem. So the commentaries say that it's this Gemara. The Gemara says that through Shabbos, we will bring back the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, when we keep two Shabbosos, so then we'll be redeemed, and Jerusalem will be rebuilt. So that's why in the song of the Chadodi, we speak about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. We're referencing this, we're alluding to this Gemara. Yeah?
Two Shabbatos.
Oh, why two Shabbatos?
Like, it's like if I keep this week and next week.
So there are different interpretations why it says two. So one explanation that's given is after we transgressed the first one, we need one to fix the one we transgressed. And then another one is a merit. But really, in the Medrash it says, once we'd keep one Shabbos, we'd be redeemed. There is such a Medrash Rabbah. Yeah?
Like a question. When you say, when we keep Shabbat, that is Am Yisrael, as a nation.
Right.
A question. When Yeshua, then one person did something wrong, Hashem said Israel sinned. Why isn't the same concept when we teach about, then it is the whole nation who teach about? Even if you don't keep it, then it is not Israel. Why the difference? Do you understand the question?
No.
When they say Israel, don't they mean over half, majority?
No.
You mean every single person?
Everyone.
Oh. Yeah. But that is my... Why doesn't... Everyone.
Too high
there. Yeah. I mean, the people who are part of Israel don't even know that they're...
But when this man transgressed, and then they went to war, and he took the cattle, only one man, Hashem said Israel. That was for one man was symbolic for whole Israel. And why isn't the same concept in the keeping Shabbat? If there it is necessary that whole Am Yisrael keep Shabbat.
No? Let's ask on your example. When Achan took from the loot of Jericho. So then Hashem said to Yoshua, Chata Yisrael, all of Israel sinned. Well, Hashem could have also said all of Israel kept the covenant, because 99.999% did not sin. So why did Hashem focus on the one person who did and said the people of Israel transgressed? Maybe Hashem could have just said the opposite. If you have 2 million people who did not transgress, then Hashem could have said the people of Israel did not transgress, right? If one person equals everyone, then why doesn't 2 million people equal everyone? Isn't that similar to your question? I'm asking. I'm saying if we wanted to ask the question begins by Yochan. Right? It begins already there. So the commentaries over there say that when Hashem held us accountable for one person's transgressions, it was because people knew. It was because people chose to turn a blind eye. So people allowed it to happen. One person did it, but many silent accomplices let it happen. And if we take that concept to what was raised a minute ago, so then we can take it over here to say, are we silent accomplices to the transgression of Shabbos that's going on here? Are we doing what we can? And I'm not talking about designating rocks, right? Before Shabbos, right? I think that's where we have to answer for our brethren. Are we doing what we can to help them come close to Shabbos?
We have that concept of Yom Kippur, where we're doing all kinds of things that we didn't personally do.
Yeah.
Maybe if I didn't give this guy a loan, and he ended up doing something, steal theft, maybe, you know, all kinds of things maybe we're responsible for each other. Can I ask a question on what you said before you go, because I still didn't completely get that tshuva thing about an idolater. Because anyone who does tshuva, right, I mean, whether they keep Shabbat or not, can be forgiven. So here they're saying, I think what you said, the commentators seem to be saying is, if somebody's keeping Shabbat, even if he hasn't done complete tshuva yet, even if he's still worshiping idols, the concept is that he will do complete tshuva and stop worshiping idols. Because I don't want to get on the scale of what's a worse sin, worshiping idols or keeping Shabbat, or no, desecrating Shabbat, right? They're both the misa, death penalty, but worshiping idols, you give up your life for by keeping Shabbat at all. So it's a strange concept that you could be, you know, on the scale of sins, it's hard to imagine that keeping Shabbat is a greater merit that overrides worshiping idols. So the commentary that you said just basically is making a statement that they believe that someone who's keeping Shabbat, even if he's worshiping idols, won't continue to worship idols.
Yeah, so, I don't remember who says that though.
The commentary was kind of brief, where he just said, well,
because it's not here. I think it's on the tour. In the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, when the tour brings this Gemara, so I think over there one of the commentaries says that the idea is that through Shabbat he'll come back. We have a concept that keeping Shabbat corresponds to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. We have a concept that idol worship corresponds to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. That the root of the whole Torah is that Hashem commanded us to keep the Torah. However, Shabbos is a recognition that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on this day. And that's why we also have an importance as a people to keep Shabbos, because Shabbos is a declaration that we recognize Hashem created the world. Rav Pesen Zatzal wrote books which weren't printed, like a whole bookshelf worth of books. So in his book on Tractate Shabbos, which I merited to see a little bit of it, so in the beginning of the book, he has a whole piece proving and explaining why keeping Shabbos is actually a hamlacha. It's a, so to speak, like an inauguration where the Jewish people every week get together and say, we aren't working on this day. And it's a public declaration that Hashem is king. Hashem created the world, and we as a public people, it's not just the individual. There's the effect of the masses as a people who make that declaration. But that's the idea over here as well. as far as two Shabbatot, so we also have a concept that a chazakah happens with twice. There's an argument in halacha, does it take two times to make a chazakah or three times? Chazakah means, I've seen this happen often enough, I can assume it will continue happening. So there are two opinions, two Tanaic opinions. One opinion says, after an ox gored twice, you can assume it's going to keep goring. After something happened twice, you can assume that it's going to keep happening. That's called the chazakah after twice. There's another opinion that says we wait until three times. So in monetary matters, we always say you need three times to prove it. Three times is what makes a chazakah. However, when it comes to issues of danger, for example, if someone had a child and they circumcised the child, and God forbid, the child died. So we don't right away assume, oh, they have a problem in the family, you shouldn't circumcise any kids there. But if it happens a second time, we don't wait for a third time. We say, that's it, chazakah. We say, after two times, it's a danger. If a person finds out about a certain family, that they've had two instances where they had a certain problem, a certain medical problem, we don't assume that it's a coincidence that it happened in their family twice. We say, you have to think twice whether you want to marry into that family. That's everyone has certain problems in their family. But there are certain medical things where we would say, no, if it showed up twice, you can assume that there's what to worry about with regards to that ailment with that family. Maybe it's still worth marrying into the family, but we say that in areas of health, in areas of danger, sakana, then we view twice as a chazakah. So we, another interpretation here is that if we keep Shabbos twice, that's a chazakah. We show that we're Sabbath observant people. Amar Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi taught. Rabbi Yossi was the son of Rabbi Chalafta. Rabbi Chalafta was rabbi in Tzipori. And then when Rabbi Yossi was silent in the discussion about the Romans, we had three rabbis sitting there talking. It was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai who spoke against the Romans, so they wanted him dead. He went into hiding into the cave. And Rabbi Yossi, who was silent, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, who spoke pro-Romans. He said, look at how nicely they prepare bridges, they've prepared markets. So they made him the top rabbi. They made him the first to talk when the rabbis would gather at rabbinic conventions called Kerem B'Yavne, when the rabbis would have a specific type of convenience where they'd convene. So Rabbi Yehuda was honored to talk first. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, and Rabbi Yossi was exiled to his father's town, Tzipori. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chalafta was the Tana, who was the rabbi in Tzipori. He made certain institutions in Tzipori. Sounds like Tzipori was a pretty dangerous place to live. Like there were maybe Jewish gangsters in Tzipori. Like one of his institutions was that when women take their kids in the marketplace, they should always lead the kids in front of them. If you've ever taken a small child, so one of the ways you get your kid to go is that you start going, and then hopefully the kid comes. Right? To make the kid walk in front of you is very hard and very unnatural. But in Tzipori, they saw that the gangsters were taking advantage of women by grabbing their kids, and then the women would go looking for the kids, and then they'd be inappropriate with the women. So they made an institution that women can't let their kids walk behind them in Tzipori. The kids always had to walk in front of the women. One of the tactics the gangsters in Tzipori used was kidnapping the kids. So coming back to Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi was exiled to Tzipori, and he became the rabbi there. And Rabbi Yossi taught the following. He said, Yehei chelki, I should make sure my lot is with me'ochlei gimel sudot b'Shabbat. Those who eat three meals on Shabbos. A person should try to be from those that eat three meals on Shabbos, because that's part of honoring Shabbos. You come to the winter Shabbatot, you don't really feel like having a third meal. You just finished your second meal. Rabbi Yossi said, my lot should be with those who eat three meals on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi taught, Yehei chelki migomrei halel b'chol yom. My portion should be with those who conclude the halel every day. Ini? Really? Did Rabbi Yossi teach that? V'amar mar. But we have the following teaching. Hakore halel b'chol yom, harizem charef u'megadef. If a person says halel every day, so then he's making fun. No one can be so impressed every day that they say Hallel every day. If you get up every morning and say halal, you're making fun. No one is like that. We live our lives. We try to appreciate what happens in our lives. But we can't be so impressed every day that we're inspired to say halal. So when a person says halal every day, so we view it as blasphemy in the sense that he's making fun of the concept of halal, to read halal every day. So answers the Gemara, ki kamrinam bipsukei dezimra. What Rabbi Yossi meant is, he should try to ensure to be from those who say psalms. Two psalms we've added over the years, over the generations. That's the idea that we say in the morning, Baruch Shamar, and a series of psalms, and then Yishtabach, and then we begin the prayer. Really, that's all introductory, the Psukei de Zimra, saying those psalms. It's all introductory. And so the rabbis instituted a blessing before and a blessing after. Rabbi Yossi said, my portion should be with those that make sure to say Hallel every day. Now there are interpretations here that say that Rabbi Yossi meant to say all of Tehillim. And based on that, Chabad have this thing, that the pious people in Chabad get up very early in the morning, they go to mikvah, and they sit down and they read Tehillim, the whole book of Tehillim. There are Hasidim who start their day with reading the whole book of Tehillim. Yeah.
They only do the part of the day. They do it on Mubarak and the Hope, for not every single day, on certain holidays. Not every day, sorry.
Okay. Okay.
It's a month cycle, right?
Right. They do like the part of the day, like the weekly, and Shabbat is today, but then on only once a month they do the whole thing, or on certain holidays.
Yeah. Okay. Famar Rabbi Yossi. Yehei chelki me'amitpalelim im dimdume chama. I should have my portion with those who pray with the redness of the sun. When's the sun red? Right after the crack of dawn, right after the sunrise. So if I can daven right away after the sun rose, that's almost like Nates, that's good for me. If I could daven in the evening as the sun is red on the horizon, that's good for me. Now, the Gemara over here only brings support for this opinion. In Tractate Brachos, the Gemara challenges this opinion, and we don't rule like this opinion. It's interesting that here the Gemara doesn't go into it. Rabbi Yossi says, I should pray both with sunrise and with sunset, because we have the following quote from Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzvah litpalel im dimdumei chama, amar Rabbi Zera meikra, yiruchem sham shvil fnei reach dodorim. We have verse that supports this concept, that we should pray close to the rising and the setting of the sun. The Gemara in Tractate Brachos says that Abaye would curse people, he would curse about this, he'd say, cursed should be he who prays so late, because if you wait till the last minute, till the sun is just on the horizon, then what happens if you get delayed for a minute? What happens if something keeps you? So then you end up missing your mincha. So Abaye said, don't wait for the last minute. Don't daven in the last minyan that's there as the sun is setting. So we see that technically Abaye agreed with what Rav Yossi taught. Technically he said, you're right. Maybe it was in Israel that they said that. Maybe it wasn't Abaye. Maybe it's B'Ma'arava. I don't remember right now. Got to look it up. That's how the Talmud in Tractate Brachos concludes. That it's not recommended to wait till the last minute in the afternoon. In the morning, you try to daven with sunrise. Good for you. If you're late by a few minutes, okay, you'll daven later. You'll daven and you're still on time. But in the afternoon, if you missed it, you missed it. Yes, there were hands up. Yes. Correct. That's a good question, but this is referring to Mincha. Yeah. This is referring to Mincha. What?
That is a really late mincha.
Yeah, it's a very late mincha, right before sunset. Yeah.
This question about before, because I had a thought, and I wonder how that's resolved about Shabbos. Now, there's a concept that leading the blind. Now, Hashem doesn't let people are blind, and you forgive them for certain sins they do. So how do they...
Slowly, I didn't follow.
Sorry, okay. There's a concept in the Torah that if someone's blind and they don't do something, they'll be forgiven eventually for that by Hashem because they don't know what they're doing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If someone does Nevera and they don't know they're doing Nevera, then they're not until the calendar for it. I've learned that a long time ago.
You don't mean literally, figuratively blind. You mean someone doesn't know.
Doesn't know the misses. They don't do them because it's right. So how does that reconcile with the fact that every single person has to do Shabbos to be redeemed? Should it be those who do know if they're blind, how can they be redeemed if they don't even know what they're doing is something wrong? That's why I'm having a problem with this that comes up with all Jews.
I don't have a proof for what I'm about to tell you, but I think it's the correct answer. Okay? Imagine if we were to say that whoever comes here tonight at 8:30 will get $1,000. And one guy shows up at 9:30 and he says, "You don't understand. The bus didn't come. Trump is here opening the embassy. I had no way I could get here. The police just wouldn't let me get through. I really, it's not my fault." So what would we tell him? "You're right, we're not punishing you, but I can't give you the reward. The reward was handed out to those who came at 8:30. It's not a punishment, but I can't give it to you." Right? So not every time that a reward is withheld can we say that it's a punishment. The fact that a person has a good excuse, that's a reason they shouldn't get punished. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the person can say, "Consider it as though I did it." You can say, "Don't hold me accountable that I didn't do it." That's what we say, that tinok shenishba, that when a person was abducted as a child, they never knew what Judaism was, they're not held accountable to the... that's in reference to the concept that they won't be punished. They're not held accountable. But now you want them to be considered as though they did it? That we don't see. I'm saying it's a... Right? Right. So, let's review and then we'll see if we have another 2 minutes to do another piece. What did we learn so far today? We said a person should make Shabbos pleasurable. So we sleep later on Shabbos, we go to a minyan we enjoy on Shabbos, there's even a mitzvah for couples to have intimate time together on Shabbos, we eat pleasurable foods on Shabbos. There's a concept of onik Shabbos, you're supposed to leave lights on for Shabbos. Part of the pleasure of Shabbos. It's always my question Friday night, should I send the kids to sleep or let them stay up reading? On the one hand, it's their own Shabbos. On the other hand, you want them to get up for shul, right? So what's the right call? Then we learned, Rav Yochanan said, if you keep Shabbos the way you should, so then even a generation like Enosh that transgressed with paganism would gain atonement. And we brought the interpretation that says that the Shabbos will lead them to be able to gain atonement. We said that idol worship corresponds to all mitzvot, because at the root of all mitzvot is the idea that Hashem is king. And Shabbos corresponds to all mitzvot. Then we learned the quote from Rav that if we would have kept that first Shabbos, no nation could have taken control of us. That right after we transgressed the first Shabbos, that's when Amalek attacked. And then we had a quote from Rabbi Yochanan. You remember Rabbi Yochanan, the great rabbi of Israel, compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. He quoted from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Ilmalei. We quoted the Tosfos in Tractate Megillah that the word Ilmalei could mean if not, or could mean if yes. And over here it means if only they would have kept the first two Shabbatot, if only we would keep two Shabbatot as a Jewish people, then we would be redeemed. And we went into discussion here, the idea that that's why in the Chadodi we mention the redemption of Jerusalem together with the Shabbos. Then we had quotes from Rabbi Yossi, and we spoke a little bit about who was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was the son of Rabbi Chalafta. He was Rabbi in Tzipori. We spoke about his institution and him and his contemporaries, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, the conversation about the Romans. So Rabbi Yossi taught, my portion should be with those that eat three meals on Shabbos. You don't always feel like having that third meal, but no, that's the honor, that's the pleasure of Shabbos. Then Rabbi Yossi said, my portion should be with those who complete Hallel every day. We asked, wait a second, you're not supposed to read the Hallel every day? That's called that you're mocking things if you read Hallel every day? No, the idea was you read some of the Psalms that are songs of praise. Rashi quotes too, we say more than that. And then Rabbi Yossi said, my portion should be with those that pray when the sun is red, close to the crack of dawn in the morning, close to sunset at night. And finally, Rabbi Yossi said, my portion should be... we didn't learn this next quote from Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so that's where we got up to. Okay, so we will pick up here B'zachim next week. On Monday, B'zachim will have class. Tonight you're welcome to bring your Megillot Rut. We will start Megillat Rut tonight, Bezrat Hashem, and continue on Thursday. So everyone's invited to bring Megillat Rut.